Translation. Ananta Charya was a reservoir of all good qualities. No one can estimate how great he was. Pandita Haridasa was his beloved disciple. Ananta Charya was a reservoir of all good qualities. No one can estimate how great he was. Pandita Haridas was his beloved disciple. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sri Anantacharya is one of the eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Previously, during the advent of Lord Sri Krishna, Anantacharya was Sudevi, one of the eight gopis. This is stated in Gauragona Deshtipika, verse 165, as follows. Anantacharya Goswami ya Sudevi Pura Vraje. Anantacharya Goswami was formerly Sudevi in Vraj, Vrindavan. In Jagannath Puri, or Purushottam Kshetra, there is a monastery known as Ganga Mata Matha, that was established by Anantacharya. In the disciplic succession of Ganga Mata Matha, he is known as Vinoda Manjari. One of his disciples was Haridas Panda Goswami, who was also known as Sri Raghu Gopal and as Sri Rasa Manjari. His disciple, Lakshmi Priya, was the maternal aunt of Ganga Mata, a princess who was the daughter of the king of Putia. Ganga Mata brought a deity of the name Sri Rasika Roy from Krishna Mishra of Jayapur and installed him in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri. The disciple in the fifth generation after Sri Anantacharya was Sri Vanamali. In the sixth generation, Sri Bhagavan Das, who was a Bengali. In the seventh generation, Madhu Sudana, who was an Aryan. And in the eighth generation, Nilabhara Das. In the ninth generation, Sri Narottam Das. In the tenth generation, Pitambara Das. In the 11th generation, Sri Madhava Das. The disciple in the 12th generation is presently in charge of the Ganga Mata Monastery. A little bit of history and update of the family lineage of this great pandit named Haridas Pandit. Agyan timirandasya gina jena salakaya chaksu unnilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gauda Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the eternal associates of the Lord, always some of the more intimate associates of the Lord, also descend when the Lord descends into the material world to perform his pastimes in Boma. This earth is Boma. His pastimes are Boma Leela. Those Leelas that take place on this earth. The eternal associates of the Lord do not want to be separated from the Lord. So when the Lord comes, they also are eager to come. And many of the most intimate of the associates of the Lord follow the Lord, not only to be with the Lord, but to assist the Lord in his transcendental pastimes. The Lord also empowers them to do wonderful things on his behalf in order to spread Krishna consciousness. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, we read about how many of his intimate and loving disciples excelled in certain aspects of bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to do that. He wanted to show the glories of his devotees to the world. He could have did everything himself as being the supreme power within existence. But in the mood of a devotee, he also showed how important it is to glorify other devotees. who were his intimate associates. But still, in the mood of Vaishnav Seva, the Lord takes the position of a humble servant. And in many cases, he even acts like he doesn't know the philosophy or the understanding of something spiritual or something, what we say, transcendental. He wanted to show the glories of Krishna in Vrindavan and the most intimate and highest forms of transcendental pastimes by empowering Ramananda Roy to speak the glories of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and ultimately ending with the glories of Radharani's bhakti for Krishna as the highest expression of love in existence. The Lord simply took the part of a questionnaire, but Ramananda Roy, knowing that the Lord was actually the source of his speaking, would say that whatever I'm saying is simply what you're putting in my mouth. That's all. Because a devotee knows that the Lord is the source of everything. And therefore, the devotee becomes empowered by the mercy of the Lord, but at the same time, always gives credit to the Lord and other devotees. A devotee never takes credit for anything. That is the cause of false pride, which is the cause of falling down. So with Ramananda Roy, he taught the highest expression of love, the mood of Vrindavan as expressed by the gopis, and the pinnacle of that love of Radharani's bhakti. Through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he played the part of a pure devotee of the Lord and showed the difference between personalism and impersonalism. Where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very staunch impersonalist. He was a Mayavadi. Although he had some Sukriti, and he also had some elements of bhakti in his Mayavada understanding, he wasn't a foolish Mayavadi. There are different categories of Mayavads, where those who have some actually bhakti for the Supreme Lord, but think that the Supreme Lord, ultimately the highest expression of the Supreme Lord's existence, is the unmanifested existence. In other words, they just turn it around. They know that the Lord takes a personal form, but they think the personal form is an expression of the impersonal. Because form, when you think about it, form means something that is limited or localized, where something impersonal is all-pervading. So using that mistaken philosophy, I must qualify it, it is mistaken that they think, therefore, impersonal means the greatest and form means limited or localized. And that, from a material perspective, that philosophy, it makes complete sense. But from the spiritual point of view, the Lord's transcendental form contains everything within it, is never limited or never, what we say, localized. The impersonal is contained within the personal, and the personal is the highest. So in order to teach that, he empowered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to first to speak like a nonsense, Mayavad, and to show, because if you want to teach something, you also have to teach what is not. Because if you only teach what is, and then somebody hears something that is different, they may also consider that has some value or some relevance. So a good teacher will teach what is the right understanding and what is the wrong understanding. And we see that very much in the life of Srila Prabhupada. How much he exposed so many other forms of bogus philosophies or philosophies that were lesser than the absolute understanding of the personality of Godhead. How Prabhupada did that? He focused on the truth, but in order to establish the truth, he swept away all the misunderstandings. And Prabhupada said, I did that because that's what Krishna does. When Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita and his questions and answers with Arjuna, Krishna explains what is not, and who's foolish and who's correct, and what are the principles of bhakti and what are the principles of ignorance. So you have to do that. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to show completely what is ignorance or what is the foolish understanding of the Absolute Truth by allowing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to speak. And then he defeated everything he said. But the Lord was so humble that when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking, the Lord didn't say anything. For 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke Mayavad philosophy. And the Lord sat there and listened and didn't say a word. At the end of 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, "You know, you're sitting, you're listening. Don't you have any questions?" The Lord said, "I do have one thing to say." He said, "The Absolute Truth is as bright as the sun, but your explanations are like clouds." He pretty much just destroyed everything he said in 7 days in one sentence. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was astonished, somewhat insulted also. And at the same time he said, "All right, you think you know better, you speak. Let me hear from you. You know, I'm Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you should know who I am." And I'm respected as one of the greatest philosophers on the planet right now. So the Lord said, "All right, calm down." And then he spoke. And that chapter where Lord Chaitanya, I mean, took apart his whole philosophy and explained in detail. And ultimately coming is showing that how can you worship something that you can't see? You can't, it has no form, has no qualities, has no attributes, has no activities. Which is logical even to children. But when you get bewildered by the wrong philosophy, you can say so many nonsense things, right? Right? There's an old saying. A fool can say anything, a goat will eat anything, and a fool will say anything. So, when you get bewildered, that bewilderment leads you to greater forms of bewilderment. And then you speak all kinds of nonsense, and it sounds nice. And those who are on the same nonsense mentality of you think, "Oh, this is so wonderful. He's speaking so good." But Lord Chaitanya exposed it, and it said ultimately, we see everything in existence has form, and therefore everything ultimately is personal. The impersonal aspect of the form of any object is its energy, and not the actual object itself. It's the expression of its qualities and the energy, but it's not the object. And nicely, and very, the Lord respected Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but he didn't really agree with him at all. And Gopinathacharya, which was the nephew of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who connected Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with Lord Chaitanya, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't know who Lord Chaitanya is, Gopinathacharya said, "You know, all your logic, all your philosophy is like a braying of an ass." Said that to his uncle. "My dear Kaka, you are a fool." Gopinathacharya wasn't as nice as Lord Chaitanya. He was heavy on his uncle. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "We're just discussing. Don't get excited here. Gopinathacharya was a little angry that he was trying to instruct the Lord and he was sure that his instructions were correct. Gopinathacharya didn't tolerate that. The Lord is very, you know, was for himself, he wasn't acting in any way that he was offended, but Gopinathacharya took offense. So the Lord wanted to teach the highest principle, and he showed by example that this person is respected as the greatest of philosopher, but ultimately he knows nothing. And later on, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya into a Vaishnava, the Lord was very kind to Sarvabhauma, because Sarvabhauma was an elderly person. The Lord was respecting him as a senior, as an elderly gentleman. So one day, Lord Chaitanya went early to Jagannath temple and got some Mahaprasadam of Lord Jagannath and wanted to offer that to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was still resting. So when the Lord came in, he got up. And the Lord immediately presented the Mahaprasadam. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately honored the prasadam. The Lord said, "How is this? You didn't even wash, you didn't clean yourself, and you're simply accepting the prasadam like that?" The Lord was testing him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, when the prasadam of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes, immediately one should honor it without question. Immediately. And to not honor it..." And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He was so happy. And he said, "Before you were just a foolish logician, and now you are, you know, transformed into a wonderful devotee." In so many words, he glorified Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So he made a complete change. So the Lord's associates are all empowered, many of them. Srila Haridas Thakur, he empowered him to chant the holy names of the Lord. 333,333 names a day, just to show the glories of the process of bhakti in its highest expression of devotion, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord cannot be understood or compared to anything, cannot be understood by anybody, cannot be compared to anything. Not only anything material, but anything spiritual either. We chant, we dance, we do our japa, but we should know that if you think, what is the most important thing I can do for my own welfare, both material and spiritual, the answer is chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, if everything is going wrong in your life and things are unsettled, just sit down and chant. And keep chanting, and then everything will become different and peaceful, and your mind will become settled. The holy name is everything. Where can we go to find everything in one place? It's like the shopping mall of spirituality. Get it all in one place, the holy name. You get, well, I mean, the glories of the holy name cannot be listed. Srila Haridas Thakur, in many of his expressions of glorifying the holy name, talks about the holy name as the perfection of everything. Sacrifice, austerity, penance, worship, mantra chanting, the essence of the Vedas, the essence of existence. Krishna himself, non-different, the form of bhakti, it's everything, the holy name. Do we have that understanding? If we do, then we'll understand how to become perfect in spiritual life and in satisfy all your material desires. You know how you satisfy your material desires? Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. That's all you have to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was cleaning the Gaudiya temple, he had about 100 of his devotees assisting him. And it's a beautiful ceremony. It takes place just before, the day before Rath Yatra and Jagannath Puri. Rath Yatra is coming up very soon, I think. Within 2 weeks, I think, in Jagannath Puri. So they're probably preparing right now in Puri. So that festival, or that ceremony the day before, Gaudiya temple represents Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes all his associates And they take big, gigantic buckets, or actually clay pots full of water, and they wash the whole temple. They wash everything, the walls, the ceilings, the deity room, everything. Nothing is left out. That pastime is mentioned in the 12th chapter of Madhya Lila. And then after the whole thing is washed, in this pastime, Lord Chaitanya says, let's wash it again. And they wash it again. Now, nobody talks. If you want to say something to somebody, you say, Hare Krishna. And that person knows what you want to say. That's all. Now, you might say, how do you communicate like that? Well, if the holy name is the highest form of everything, it's the highest form of communication too. Right? Makes sense? So, if anybody wanted to say, pass a bucket of water, they would say, Hare Krishna, and that person would know exactly what to do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Nobody said anything else. And they were all assisting Lord Chaitanya. And finally, after they cleaned it once, Lord Chaitanya said, let's clean it again. And this time, Lord Chaitanya said, let's have a competition. Who can find the most dirt? And they collected all the straw and all the sand and all the different types of debris, and they made piles. Lord Chaitanya's pile was bigger than everybody else's pile combined. Because he's God, he's perfect. So he was able to outdo everybody. And he also said, you know, the one who has the biggest piles can get some Jagannath Mahaprasadam in the form of sweet cakes. So there was a reward and a little incentive for cleaning the temple. But what is that temple? A temple is not simply a structure of worship. The temple is the heart. The temple is the heart. So when the heart is being cleaned, we take the broom of the holy name and sweep it. We take service to the Vaishnavas as the foundation of holding the broom. The broom does the sweeping. The service to the Vaishnava is the handle for sweeping the dirt. These two things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized. And when he finished the second time, he wanted to do it a third time. So they went out into the courtyard and did the courtyard after that. The temple was so clean that no one could find a speck of any dust anywhere. Have you been to that temple? It's huge. And then the Lord wanted to show that if you want to chant the holy names of the Lord with devotion, with perfection, we have to clean the heart. You have to clean the heart. And that cleaning process is chanting and serving Vaishnavas. How important it is to serve Vaishnavas? It is as important as chanting, in the sense that if we actually excel in the quality of serving Vaishnavas, Krishna's holy name becomes manifested very, very merciful in our life. And the more we can emphasize Vaishnava Seva, the more we can also come to the platform of Namruchi. Jai Shishi Nitai Gora Chandraki Jai. So, the devotees of the Lord are so dear to the Lord that it says that by serving the devotees of the Lord, it's better service than the serving of the Lord. Aradana Sarvesham. What is that verse? Aradana Sarvesham. Vishnu Aradana Param. Tasmaram Param Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. I was listening to Prabhupada speak that verse yesterday in a Bhagavatam class. He was so animated in his explanation of this verse. He said, this is the essence, Tadiyanam, in relationship to what? To Vishnu, in relationship to the Supreme, is more important. It's greater than serving God Himself. Service to the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are so dear to the Lord that the Lord says that even my very existence is not as important as my pure devotees who have given everything for my service. So this is the what we say, the heart of the Lord. It's the heart of the Lord, his devotees. So by creating a mindset within our lives of Vaishnav Seva, gradually Krishna will fulfill that in various ways, how to serve the Vaishnavas like that. And we are hearing about, just see, just like Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he's not only writing about the glories of the Lord, he's asked by the assembly of Vaishnavas, please speak about the glories of the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what is he doing? He's also including the glories of the Lord's associates as a very prominent part of this whole biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Srila Prabhupada, how much in detail he writes these purports. He's not only talking about Lord Chaitanya's associates, but the generations that have come after it. We get a geography, we get an explanation of the family line, we learn about the different temples, who's who from, when we say, Vrindavan Leela. Just like it's here, it's glorifying Sri Anantacharya. So who is he? He's a gopi, but not an ordinary gopi, he's Sudevi. How many of you have been to Mayapur? That's a silly question. I'm sure mostly everybody. Right. You see, on the altar Radha Madhava, there are 8 sakis there. The saki on the far right, that is closest to where the devotees stand, that's Sudevi. That's Sudevi. That same person appeared. That gopi appeared again as Anantacharya, like that. So these associates of the Lord are also very intimate associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, like that. And they appear again. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is he? He's Radharani. No, he's Krishna. But he's in the mood of Radharani. His mood is Radha, but his existence is Krishna. Very difficult to understand. Can we understand that? How a person can be 2 people at the same time? It's impossible to understand. That's why the absolute truth is achintya. It's inconceivable. If we try to use logic, reason, and hypotheses, and whatever else we use, intelligence, even imagination, to understand the nature of the absolute truth, but we'll look foolish. Because the Lord, nobody can understand Krishna. Even Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, nobody knows me. I know everything in the past. I know everything in the future. I know everything that's yet to come. I know all living entities. But me, he says, nobody knows. But it's fun trying to find out. That's the whole thing. It's fun trying to find out about the Lord. Make one's life an endeavor to learn more about the Lord or about the Lord's devotees. And then our mind will become absorbed in spirituality. So here we hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna, but he's in the mood of Radharani. But Radharani came again. As who? Gadadhar Pandit, right? But it wasn't the same mood. Radharani, her mood is very, she's a left-wing gopi. That means she doesn't obey Krishna. She has her own, what we say, program. It's the program of bhakti, but it's not, it's submissive bhakti. It's what we call the way I want to do it, bhakti. To use a very ordinary sense, but it's bhakti. It's love, and Krishna likes that because it's full of surprises. If you have, life is more fun when you're with somebody who is mysterious than somebody who's just so, I don't know. We all have our own tastes. I don't know. If somebody is very simple, you know what to expect from them, right? Well, if somebody's not so simple, you don't know what they're going to do next. I mean, it could ruin a marriage sometimes. But it could also make marriage exciting when the element of love is there. Because then there's adventure in that relationship. I see people are quite thoughtful right now. Maybe I should just, we can meditate for a few seconds here to go deeper into this one. But the point is that Gadadhar, he's not that mood. He's very submissive, very obedient, except for one time. And Lord Chaitanya liked that. But why was he like that? If that's the same Radharani, which it was, why was Gadadhar so different? And the Acharyas explained, because as Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radharani, he didn't want to interfere with Lord Chaitanya's mood of Srimati Radharani, which is himself. So therefore, in order to enhance Mahaprabhu's mood of Radharani, he was very passive in relationship to the Lord, rather than in competing with the Lord, because they have both have contrary moods, then it would be competing in the element of bhakti. But he didn't want to do that, so he was very, very submissive. And Lord Chaitanya liked that. But one time, Lord Chaitanya, because wherever Lord Chaitanya was, Gadadhar wanted to be. When Lord Chaitanya was born, Gadadhar was born about two, three months later. They were inseparable as children. They grew up together. And then when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Gadadhar left in Navadvipa and also went to Jagannath Puri, just to be with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya gave him a personal deity, which was Gopinath. He said, worship that deity. If you worship Gopinath, then you'll please me, because Gopinath is non-different. And so Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, and not only that, I will give my life to Gopinath. I will never leave Jagannath Puri. But he did. Or no, he didn't. He wanted to leave. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have to travel outside of Puri. I have to go to Ramakeli. He made it seem like he had some business at Ramakeli, but actually he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But he wanted to stop at Ramakeli to meet Sanatan Rupa Goswami. And so, on the pretext of going to Vrindavan, which he was going, he stopped and he wanted to stop in Ramakeli to meet Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who he had been corresponding with by letters. So Gadadhar said, I want to go with you. The Lord said, well, you took Kshetra Sannyas. That means you can't leave Gopinath. Kshetra Sannyas means, Kshetra means place or holy place. And therefore you have to stay in this holy place for the rest of your life serving Gopinath. The Lord Gadadhar said, well, there's no difference between you and Gopinath, so if I go with you, I'm still with Gopinath. And Lord Chaitanya didn't like that so much. He said, I've come to establish religious principles and you're breaking them. What will I look like if I allow you to do this? I'm trying to establish religious principle. And Gadadhar Pandit didn't want to hear that. So, but Lord Chaitanya was strict, so he said, you know, pretty much told him to stay. But when Lord Chaitanya was leaving, Gadadhar Pandit started to follow him. And then Lord Chaitanya got into a boat by the river, and Gadadhar just stood by the bank and was watching Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya just didn't say anything, turned around, told the boatman, okay, let's go. And Gadadhar Pandit was left standing on the shore, and he fainted in separation of the Lord. He had never experienced that separation before in his life, and it was intolerable for him. When you have love for somebody that is so deep, you just want to be with them every moment. Your whole life is just focused on making that person happy and finding pleasure in that type of association. And Gadadhar Pandit only knew that. And now the Lord was gone. And he couldn't, his consciousness was so devastated that he lost consciousness and fell. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there and picked him up. He said, after he came back to consciousness, he said, the Lord loves you. He doesn't want you to break your vow. Be patient, be patient. He'll be back, be patient. And guess what happened? I think you know. He went to Ramakeli, met Rupen Sanatan Goswami, and on his way to Ramakeli, he was followed by thousands of people. And he became like a figure of popularity. And when he got to Ramakeli, he met Rupen Sanatan Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami said to him, my dear Lord, you're going to go on to Vrindavan, all these people are going to follow you. You're going to look like a charlatan. You're going to look like some cheap personality who's just interested in followers. It's not the time to go. Go at a different time. The Lord listened but didn't agree. And he decided to go. And then as soon as he went, exactly what Sanatan Goswami said and started to happen. And the Lord turned around and went back to Puri. He came back to Puri really fast. And Gadadhar Pandit was there, and everybody was astonished. You're back already. We didn't expect you to go back. Everyone was happy, of course. But then they said, why did you come back so soon? He said, the Lord wouldn't let me go to Vrindavan because I offended Gadadhar Pandit. That's what he said. What was his offense? There wasn't any offense. But he said that. Why was he saying what he was saying? Because he said, if one causes any bad feeling in the heart of another devotee, that's offense. I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. And therefore, Krishna was not pleased with me and wouldn't let me go to Vrindavan. That's what he said. So that was an instruction there on the sensitivity of Vaishnava relationships. How it should always be as pleasing and as loving as possible. Prabhupada created a family, and he wanted us to act in that mood as being members of a big family who would assist each other and develop strong spiritual relationships. We have our material families, we have our material, but these things are extraneous to our actual existence. Our real family is the family of devotees. A real family is the family of devotees. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to emphasize that. So, and through Gadadhar Pandit, he also taught, worship of the deity like that. He worshipped the deity Gopinath so wonderfully that at the end of his life, he left his body in service to Gopinath. So the Lord is glorious, and the Lord's devotees are glorious. But the Lord sees his devotees as more glorious than himself. So one who becomes a devotee of the Lord is honored by the Lord. Devotees don't want to be honored, though. We don't want to honor. We want to honor other devotees, and we want to honor the Lord. No, we don't want to honor for ourselves. But that's the problem with Krishna consciousness. You get honored anyway. It's a problem. What to do? You gotta accept it. You gotta tolerate it. They say there's two types of tolerance. Things you don't like and things you do like. You gotta tolerate the things you do like too, that are not so good for you, but you like them anyway. And it's so... The Lord likes to give more attention and glory to his pure devotees, or those who are surrendered to him, than himself. He directs it like that. So we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one very intimate devotee, we're reading about it here. How intimate? Out of all of Krishna's associates, the gopis of Vrindavan are considered to be the highest expression of bhakti. And out of that highest, Radharani is the best. And from Radharani, the eight sakis, the eight principal sakis, who are, let's see if I can remember. Let's see, okay. Who's the eight? Name one. Vishakha. Two. Lalita. Induleka. Huh? Okay, Sudevi. Who else? Huh? Rangadevi. Okay, she's on the other side of Sudevi. Who else? That's five. Tungavidya. Who else? Champaklata. We're missing one. Rangadevi. Okay. Chitra. Chitra Gopi. I'm sure Pankajangri can tell us exactly which gopi is which just by his meditation. Sudevi and Rangadevi are sisters. Yeah, they're actually twin sisters. Even in Aditi, you can see they look very much alike. Like that. Any more nectar? Yeah. That one gopi who's like this. Who's that? At Tungavidya or Chitra? I'm on Krishna's side. That's Tungavidya. That's Tungavidya? Oh, the very far left. But the one that's next to Lalita. That's Chitra, right? That's Champaklata. Then Chitra's next, right? Uh-huh. So Chitra's next to Tungavidya. Yeah, okay. I don't know as much as I think I do. So these gopis reappeared in Chaitanya Leela to assist Lord Chaitanya in his transcendental path. Most of his associates were gopis. There was, of course, few. And then Lord Nityananda, he is Balaram, so he's in the mood of Sakyaras, and he had his associates who were all cowherd boys. So when you read about Gaur Leela, you're actually reading about Krishna Leela. There's no difference between Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. The only difference is there's more mercy in Gaur Leela. What is that mercy? It's easier to approach the principles of bhakti through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that. Okay, I don't want to spend up too much time. I know every devotees have a lot of services. So any questions?